This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, and welcome to ENN on a Friday evening brought to you by the All-American Ford Auto Group. You know they have the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at All-American Ford. So head over to allamericanford.net, all right? They have the best selection, best prices, locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael. And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Where's your Snapchat, Don?
Oh, beautiful. Perfect.
That's what we should have done today. Now, we just had Kevin Gilbride on the show.
Oh, sure.
And Ryan Hurley reminded us of a moment on Sunday Night Football many years ago when he and Buddy Ryan were both coaching Houston, the Oilers, and a fracas between the two broke out on the sideline. And first of all, it's just bizarre because how often do you see one coach punch another coach in the face? And number two, we get this beautiful coverage from Mike Patrick and Joe Theismann. It took me down a lovely stroll down memory lane. I want to share with everyone.
This is after the fumble. Take a look at what happened on the sideline with Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan.
There's Buddy Ryan. There's Kevin Gilbride. That's Buddy Ryan taking a swing at Kevin Gilbride.
Now, that's hard to believe.
That's baloney. I mean, it's just hogwash. I mean, Kevin Gilbride shouldn't have to take that. Buddy Ryan, if he wants to be a head coach, wait till he gets a job somewhere. You're not the head coach of the Houston Oilers. Do your job and
you
coach your
can't even justify it under those circumstances.
He's a heck of a coach. Just acts like a jerk sometimes.
Unbelievable stuff. And I got to tell you guys, I am now really sad, and Andrew reminded me that Mike Patrick had a heart attack at some point, and so maybe he removed himself. But Don just looked it up. Mike Patrick, 75. He's been gone for probably 15 years from really sort of from the public consciousness in terms of doing this stuff at this level. Michael, he was an awesome voice. Like, I really missed the Sunday Night Football broadcast. That was really good.
Wow.
What are your thoughts?
Strong stand.
How do you feel?
I feel strong.
You don't agree?
No, he was very good. I don't know why it's opening ENN. It's one of the strangest choices you've ever made. Well, who cares?
I mean, it's ENN.
Other
worthy,
than Mike
no
Patrick's
question.
Family, who cares what you're doing now?
Oh my God.
I just thought this is a byproduct of the original story that we had Kevin Gilbride
exactly.
on. Exactly. Punched it's, by Buddy
yeah,
Ryan.
But that was a half hour ago.
Well, people listen to the whole
this
show.
This is the worst decision you've ever made editorially.
But I got to tell you right now. February of 2018.
Andrew, why did you even encourage this? I don't understand it.
Go ahead, Andrew. You're
the producer of the show.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting.
Really?
I do. I also don't know that I knew it was going to lead. But I do find it interesting.
I just teased it, so I just wanted to follow it up. Wow. Don, what were you saying about Mike Patrick?
That you think about Sunday Night Football when you hear his voice. And that's the ultimate compliment you can make. When you hear Keith Jackson, you think of college football on Saturday. You hear Merlin Olsen, you think about an AFC game in Oakland, you know, at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. I mean, that's what I think of. I think of Sunday Night Football on ESPN when I hear
robbed,
Mike Patrick.
He was robbed sort of his prime. Like a commentator, a play-by-play guy, wouldn't you say? You should like this, Michael. I feel like 60s around prime time.
It better be.
So, I don't know. I feel like we really lost him as a primetime player in like what could have been the best time of his career. It's a bummer. And also, let's just be honest, Monday Night Football is supposed to be on network television. I hope ESPN's able to get it done and move this to ABC. It's right. Don, they had it right before. Sunday night was on cable. Monday night was on network. It was beautiful. It's how it was supposed
right,
to be.
But you've seen that viewing changed. You know, there was a time not that long ago that prime time on a Saturday night was must-see TV. All the big shows were on Saturday night. That's a joke now. So I think viewing has changed. I think you get a bigger audience on Sunday night than you would Monday night. Right, Michael?
Yep.
Michael doesn't care. He has some strong... It's as if when ENN is legitimately leading off the evening news. You know, and people are tuning in to find out what
Michael's
happened in the impeachment
like
today.
Mike Patrick My goodness. All due respect to Mike Patrick.
Is it all due respect? I don't think you're giving all due respect.
You're leading ENN with a story about a guy who hasn't broadcasted in 10 years. What's wrong with you? That's not true.
He retired 2 years ago.
Thank you.
He was doing
Don.
College football
Don.
For ESPN.
Thank you.
Up until December of 2017.
We do a show.
Why don't you open with Red Barber on Monday?
We do a show for people who love sports. And I believe that audio that we played gave people goosebumps. I think it brought them chills in their car. Really? They went, oh my God, Sunday Night Football, I remember this. This feels good. I know the people, Michael.
I don't think one person felt that way. Please tweet us if you did.
I guarantee. Well, you know what? I'm going to go to the next story, which is the biggest story of the day.
Run it up the poll, RJ. Were you interested in the ENN Open?
I think it was tremendous what we just did. And I think people have goosebumps.
I'd vote yes.
Goosebump inducing, which just happened. But instead, don't worry. I'll do the big story of the day, which we've already covered for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And that would be the retirement of Eli Manning. Eli did retire earlier today, and his brother actually spoke about him this morning on Golic and Wingle, and he spoke specifically about what about his brother impressed him so much.
His toughness, his accountability, his leadership, and his calmness under pressure. I mean, you know, to take a team in two-minute drills to win the Super Bowl, beating the greatest dynasty of all time, and, you know, to beat what I always called the two-headed monster. When you play the Patriots, you got to score points to beat Tom Brady, but you got to try to figure out how to score points on the greatest defensive mind out there in Bill Belichick. And that team that year, Mike, was loaded. They beat us that year. We were both undefeated. We played, and that Patriots team beat us. They were the real deals.
Also, here's Peyton on what it's like watching his little brother play.
Let's say we had a Sunday night game and the Giants were playing at, you know, 1 o'clock. So I'm watching the game in my hotel room. I'm standing up on top of my couch. I'm yelling at Toomer or Plaxico for not coming back to the ball. I want to rip Joe Buck's face off or saying something negative about my brother. I mean, I'm literally in a full sweat.
It's always
sweat.
Joe Buck, man.
I'm in a full sweat in the hotel room. I'm like, what am I doing? I got a game here in 5 hours. I got to calm down.
That is so interesting, man.
That's cool, though.
I bet there were times when Eli would play a game during the day, and then later in that day, Peyton would do a game, and it would be on Sunday Night Football commentary. Mike Patrick. Guarantee it. And you know what I bet Eli and Peyton did? I bet Eli watched the game.
Got goosebumps.
And said, man, Mike Patrick, hell of a job from this guy.
I'm so happy it's Friday.
You've been a pill this week.
Yeah,
you've been a real pill.
But I still would want to work. I wish I was working tomorrow. That's how much I love working with you.
No, you just love airtime.
Don, even when you try to be nice, why do you bother?
Because I want people to realize what a bad guy.
I guess.
We got this fun show, and he just hates every second of it.
He's a bad, 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 bad guy. Let's hear a really touching moment from the press conference today. John Mara. Speaking about his last memory of his father at a Giants game, and of course it involves Eli Manning.
I also remember the last game of the 2004 season, Eli's rookie year, when he took us down the field at the end of the game in the closing seconds to beat Dallas. It was the last game my father ever saw, and I can remember walking to the locker room with him afterwards and him saying to me, I think we found our guy, and how right he was.
That right there, beautiful, tells you about the Maras, might be why, although they've had great success with the four Super Bowls, that they haven't had as much success as maybe they could have because they let the human element play in. And sports now, very assassin-like. Don't care about history.
Don't care
if you've been there 20 years. Don't care if you've been there 40 years. If we don't think you're doing the job, move to the side. We're bringing somebody else in. You could see for the Maras, it was difficult. The Ernie Accorsi story that we told earlier. Wellington Mara had to be convinced about the trade with San Diego to get Eli because he did not want to part with Kerry Collins.
Right.
That's how much he was attached to him. And I think that Eli probably stuck around 3 years longer than they would have felt was optimum because John Mara felt a strong bond
true.
With him.
But Wellington still signed off on the trade to get Eli. Wellington still signed off on the Giants cutting Phil Sims. He may have had it tug at his heartstrings, but ultimately let the football people say, all right, what's best for the organization? We got to do it. I may not like it. I wonder if John has that same power because of, you know, Wellington being gone. I mean, this was always going to be the last connection he had with his dad football-wise. This was the last draft pick, and just him choking up telling that story, Peter, I think Wellington would have let Eli go. John couldn't.
Here's Eli's final words in the presser.
For most of my life, people have called me easy. Believe me, there is nothing easy about today. Wellington Mara always said, once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Mic drop.
And then this was crazy. Did you hear the music they played after he ended right there?
No. Really?
I didn't even notice.
And he went like this. And he asked for everyone to get up. And it was awkward. No one would get up. And it was a strange way to end it. Did you hear this earlier on the show, Michael?
I shook his mammoth hand.
Shuck. And you said that I was wrong, right?
I said,
by the way, we never got the Twitter poll up, but the response overwhelming on Twitter that Peter did the right thing with the open.
Really? Because I...
And the Twitter poll's up, RJ? What are the numbers looking like?
I'll give you one of the...
It's very close, separated by 2%.
Gaza Boy Rao said the ENN opening was boring.
That's just not a fan.
He's a hack.
No, he's not. He's smart.
41 tweets I have here. Hold on.
The poll is 58-42 right now against that story. Peter.
Interesting.
I'm sorry.
Of course.
What a bad.
Because people are smart.
Well, still 42%.
Are,
right?
Yeah, right. Well, but that's a good
you know
point.
What? What does that mean? What does 40% mean? We see it in this country right now. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it all mean?
Mike Patrick was great. Was a great opening to ENN. I understand Michael's not enjoying it right at the beginning, but it was definitely a hell of a call. I remember that broadcast of Ryan versus Gilbride. Totally worth it.
Listen, if you want
absolutely
to finish,
useless.
If you wanted to finish an ENN sometime in the middle of July, dog days of July, like during the All-Star break, after the All-Star game and there's no sports for 2 days, if you want to finish ENN with a Mike Patrick thing, I'm all for it. But to open it with a week that's been chock full of news, it's almost a fireable offense.
I like Zook.
I mean, our PD can't even move. He's ambulatory. Our GM is somewhere in Napa Valley. Nobody's going to fire you over it. I wish I had the opportunity.
To be honest, I usually side with Michael, but I'm 28 and had never heard that call before. Thought it was great.
All right,
I'm going to watch the video.
Well, let me play you Bob Wolf's call of Don Larson. We'll open with that.
Someone wrote, I immediately had to change and listen in the nude when I heard that lead story.
It was actually a Jet game, too, so it was relevant.
See?
They had to win that game to make the playoffs.
Intro
they lost 24-0.
Intro to ENN was phenomenal. Gilbride versus Ryan exchange was a classic, epic moment no one should forget, especially with the commentary. Just take a walk.
Zook says, so many chills, you might as well call me Kevin Chilbride right now.
Midge. Serena knocked out early from the
Shocking.
Australian Open.
Shocking.
Australia Open. She was third round again.
But give me some Coco good news.
Well, the good news is Coco has done it again. She beats Naomi Osaka in straight sets. Here's Coco Gauff.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. From the crowd, I guess, honestly, like, what is my life? Like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't, if I, like... Last year, or no, 2 years ago, I lost first round in juniors, and now I'm here. Like, this is crazy.
That is really insane. So now the 15-year-old is on to the fourth round in a major. She's something else. And just what tennis needed as the Williams are getting near the end of it, obviously. Although yesterday after a match, Serena said she does plan to keep going, and she does think she can win these. That's why she's playing. She said she's not doing this for fun.
You're getting destroyed on the poll. 56-44.
Is that destroyed?
Yeah. That's destroyed. If a president lost 56-44, you'd say, wow, he lost big.
Well, that's because in our country, usually the person who gets more votes doesn't become president. But that's actually not destruction. If a score in a basketball game was 56-44, you go, oh, man, they're getting blown out. Now you go, they're down 12. Let's get it together. Time to vote if you love the Mike Patrick audio.
Just be honest with yourselves when you vote at TMKS ESPN. Don't let him.
But what about the tweets that people are actually using words? I got news for you. You know that those polls?
Yeah.
People who don't listen to the show just click. It takes no time. Click. Yes, no, I don't like Peter. Click, click. They're not paying attention. What people are spending time on are these crafted tweets talking about their love of Mike Patrick.
I don't dislike Mike Patrick.
I think you do.
I hate Mike Patrick leading ENN.
Well, you shouldn't. And it wasn't just Mike Patrick. It was Mike Patrick and Joe Theismann.
Oh, that's, see, now,
no.
Now it makes sense, doesn't it, Don?
Although, actually,
now
Andrew,
it makes sense.
Andrew, what did I just tell you during the commercial that might have surprised you?
Clown shoes.
Well, you said you want them you wouldn't mind if they were back.
That wasn't what I was referring to. That was for off the air. That was for off the air. But what I meant was I was never a Theismann fan. He annoyed me.
Did you like him as a quarterback?
I was too young. So he just always annoyed me as a commentator. No, I was. I'll tell you. I'll guess what? They call Patrick, and they bring Patrick and Theismann back next year for Monday Night Football. Be hot. Scorching hot.
Well, you know what? I'll text Joe Tessitore that you feel like that.
I have no dog in this race. They're all ESPN guys. I don't know Tessitore. I don't know Mike Patrick. I'm just a fan. I just enjoy product. Antonio Brown.
Please, 7 o'clock, get here.
I think you're going to say, please, a drop for I just enjoy product. But no, you want to leave because you're a bad guy.
What does this person mean? He says, it's Howard. It says, this is what happens when Rosenberg gets a mage endorsement from Carson Daly.
Oh, I guess he's referring to Carson Daly commenting on my Instagram yesterday. He's been really, Carson Daly's been so complimentary.
What's he saying? About you on the show?
No, just about, no, more about hip-hop stuff. But he's a big fan of what I do, and he's really,
thank you.
Really
he's a
nice.
Big fan of the show, too.
So I guess he loves me everywhere.
Why don't you get a gig on the New Year's Eve show next year?
I mean, I'm not always trying to schnur constantly.
Really? You know? I have never seen that side of you.
Although I will be back on Tamron Hall this Monday, coming Monday morning, Don, 10 a.m.
For what now?
Grammy recap.
Interesting.
Monday morning, 10 a.m., ABC.
Please do one favor for me. Wear a nice outfit. Dress like you dress now. Don't wear your varsity jacket.
You didn't like that outfit?
No.
The varsity jacket was gorgeous.
You had a problem with that outfit? It was a button-down shirt and the Def Jam jacket.
Andrew May goes, listening to ENN, fell asleep while driving, almost drifted into a ravine. Snoozefest audio to start ENN.
I wish you had. As long as you didn't hit anyone else.
That's not right.
Take that back. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
I take it back.
Actually, we just mentioned Serena and Coco. Let's hear from Serena after her shocking loss.
Personally, I made a lot of errors, so I didn't hit any of those shots in New York or in general in a really long time, so that's good news, but I just made far too many errors to be a professional athlete today.
That's strong.
Yeah, she'll be back. Antonio Brown's bond has been set at $110,000. That shouldn't be a problem for him. Things are not going well, though. He was scheduled for an interview at Hot 97. I don't think it's going to happen, guys. I'll be honest. I don't think he's coming.
Well, he's got an ankle bracelet on. I don't think he could leave.
Well, isn't that the point of the bracelet? Yeah. Oh, no, so you can't leave.
Well, maybe it's just not leave the state. Or maybe it's not leave the country.
I had a flashback yesterday to Antonio Brown on the first episode of Hard Knocks. He took a hot air balloon to get to camp. And it was like a funny kind of thing they showed.
Should have told you what was going on.
But he seemed fun-loving and normal. Like, he was, like, excited to get there and kind of was having a goofy interview. Well,
you know what that was? He called the company Baluber.
He's so anxious to get there. Why did he take literally the slowest vehicle in which to get to camp?
Baluber.
I get it now. What about Belift?
See, now you're picking it up. This is what ENN's about.
Kareem Hunt was pulled over Tuesday by police. He had marijuana in his car.
Why do people love pot so much? I don't get it.
Well, you've never done it, so how would you get it?
But what's so big about it that you'd be willing to risk your career? I mean, if it's a non-addictive drug, why would you do it? This is not enough trouble.
See?
We should all get high one day, right?
On the air?
No. Get together, get high, and then
you gotta stop smoking pot.
Really experience it for what it's worth together, and then we can judge on whether this is a good idea.
And then you want to move on to cocaine too, and then heroin?
No. Because not nearly as many people get busted for cocaine possession as much as marijuana possession.
They don't leave it. They don't leave it around.
And there isn't any question about making cocaine legal.
You're familiar with the work of David Blow?
But what I'm saying is, we may still come to the same opinion that that's a stupid thing to do. But maybe we'll enjoy it so much we'll say, you know what, I get it.
Well,
I understand.
This is just about me. Both of you are like, it was skunk pot.
It was 1984.
Like the Boubons brothers.
Did you do ecstasy? It was 1984, and they say you don't get high on the first time you try.
Oh, it was only once you did it.
Yeah, it was the one time I tried it back in 1984.
That must be great.
I like Don's idea.
How was it last night, Peter?
The Boubons?
Yeah.
Didn't do any.
Okay.
All right, we gotta move on. We have to wrap it up. Because we have to wrap it up. We have a guest coming on the show. Tom Brady tweeted earlier today, congratulations on your retirement. And a great career, Eli. Not going to lie, though, I wish you hadn't won any Super Bowls. Now, this is a huge story that's just starting to creep up. I'll be fast, but The New Orleans Saints are going to court to keep the public from seeing hundreds of emails that allegedly show team executives doing public relations damage control for the area's Roman Catholic Archdiocese to help it contain the fallout from a burgeoning sex abuse crisis.
This is an amazing story. I saw this.
This is a tough story to do quickly.
Obviously, the Saints should not be in the business of assisting the Archdiocese, and the Saints' public relations team is not in the business of managing the public relations of criminals engaged in pedophilia, the attorneys wrote in the court filing. The Saints realize that if the documents at issue are made public, the professional sports organization also will be smearing itself. So apparently the ownership of the Saints is incredibly close with the Catholic Church in New Orleans, and basically people were getting in trouble. There's like 24 different men, or there's a bunch of different men who are accusing the church of sex abuse. And apparently with that relationship, I guess the church leaned on the Saints to get help cleaning up their mess. This is potentially a nightmare, Michael.
I would think this does not reflect well on them at all if they're involved, but we'll see if the emails have to be made public. And if, you know, this is something that Roger Goodell does not want to have this cross his desk.
On this day in 2014.
They're going to bring him out now so he can feel the crowd, the love of the crowd for Melo.
The highest scoring game ever here at the Garden. 62 points for Carmelo Anthony.
62 points for Melo.
And now he's not on the Knicks anymore.
And as we close out ENN, I was going to twitter.com/TMKSESPN to check the poll because it is apparently within tenths now. RJ, what's the exact total?
50-50.
It's 50.2 to 49.8. Yes. As in not in your favor, but you're closing fast.
Certainly not controversial, though.
No.
Certainly not worth debate.
Anyways, that is was a beautiful ENN on a Friday, if I do say so myself. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
More Baseball Hall of Fame talk when we get back with a special guest. The boss is coming on. The TV boss. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.